What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy holidays. Happy day after Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. I hope everyone's having a wonderful day. In lieu of the holidays and everything, we got a little surprise. It's fun. We compiled some of my favorite parts from previous episodes, favorite scripts, favorite games, all that. Put together a little mashup thing here for everybody. I guess like a clip show. I don't know if it counts as a clip show if it's a podcast, but we didn't have anything new to put out, but I want to put something out for you guys. And we're back into regular new episodes starting next week. But this is a compilation episode of some of our favorite scripts, some of our favorite games, favorite parts, things I love, people things send me that they loved, and I remember people talk about a lot. Hope you enjoy all these. Hope you have good holidays. Hope you have a happy new year. We'll be back next week with a new episode. And if you're in New York on February 16th, it's a Sunday. February 16th, we're doing a live podcast, live, Never Seen It, New York, Brooklyn, at Union Hall. Tickets are at unionhallny.com or my website, kyleayers.com. You can find them there at unionhallny.com. Get tickets Sunday, February 16th. It's going to be so fun. We got Jean Grey and Shane Torres so far. And surprise guests, I can't even tell you about yet. I'm super, super excited. But it's Sunday, February 16th. We have a live show in Brooklyn at Union Hall. Please come. Please get tickets now. The sooner you get tickets, the better it works out. It's going to be great. But enjoy compilation episodes, some of your favorite scripts, favorite games, favorite dad stuff, all that put together here. Enjoy the episode. Thank you. Happy holidays.
This is Lawrence of Arabia by Dan Harmon.
Fade in. Exterior, desert, day. Majestic sand dunes, shot on a specialized panoramic film stock that lasted for 2 years, so if you watch it on Blu-ray, it's letterboxed to the width of a snake. But it's beautiful. The score swells as text fills the screen. Both the score and the font of the text have a problematically Arabic feel, like the lowercase t's look like curvy salami swords.
Salami swords.
It is the turn of the 19th century, and while the New World is consumed with civil war and the gold rush, the Old World is still very much Britain's empire, with Queen Victoria's navy in control of every port from Finland to Australia. Her Majesty's resources, however, are spread thin, and in climates less hospitable to British occupation, native unrest is gaining momentum. Perhaps the least hospitable region, a stretch of scorching hot sand between the Tigris and Euphrates, known to British colonists as the Deadly Crescent. The natives call it by their own word for strength, Arabia. The text fades, leaving only Arabia to serve as a chyron. The camera pans from the dunes to a stretch of railway. A steam train howls past us and chugs toward the horizon with sound design that Quentin Tarantino will reference as tits and pussy for the ears in a 1997 interview with Cinecom.
Wow.
We would be content to watch the steam train for hours because the film stock is so beautiful. They had a special theater built just to show the movie, but as a score turns sinister, a lone hoof lands in frame. We cut to reveal its source, a barely tamed Arabian horse whose name we'll learn is Nuksuna, Arabian for Dagger of the Sand. Atop this fierce warhorse is an even fiercer stallion, Alibi Jael Jamathani, portrayed by Alec Guinness in Mascara and Bronzer. Alibi regards the train with strategic resentment before raising his curved saber. In response, A dozen horse-mounted Hispanic extras playing Arabian freedom fighters emit high-pitched, highly problematic war cries.
War cries!
The ragtag bunch charges full speed after the train. Interior train, engine car. The British engineer glances at his rearview mirror, then puts his monocle in and checks it again. AFI's website notes this as the first double take on color film.
Good heavens!
A British oligarch with two monocles enters the car.
What's the meaning here?
A spot of nomad bandits, sir.
I was to understand this region had been civilized.
That it has, my lord. But the savages are slow to learn. Shelby, accelerate!
A hunchback dressed like a chimney sweep grunts something cockney and shoves coal into a furnace with a fancy spoon. Exterior, desert. The steam from the smokestack thickens as the tempo of the chugs increase and the train puts distance between itself and the wailing bandits. Interior, train, engine car. The oligarch is pleased.
Good show, conductor.
I'll give it to the brutes, sir. They've got fire in their blood, but you can't fight progress with... sand!
The two Brits spot something ahead, a huge pile of sand on the railroad track.
Dude on the track!
Stop the train!
I can't! They tricked us into going too fast!
Exterior desert. The train hits the sand dune and derails, then explodes, sending bags of tea and chandelier jewels raining down as the men on horseback cheer.
My tea!
Yes!
There's a jarring one-frame transition to a totally different level of brightness and contrast, making our brains go, "Gah, what's happening?" before we realize we're experiencing one of those pre-digital dissolve transitions that required putting two frames of film in a sheet bladder full of turpentine and exposing it to incrementally larger wattage bulbs before stapling each resultant frame back into the movie so you spend the duration of it completely distracted and raising the question, wouldn't it retain more immersion to just cut to exterior London day? Distant Cambridge bells chime as two little girls play with a barrel hoop outside a government building. Chiron, Her Majesty's Ministry of Intelligence Services, a.k.a. MI2. It's olden times, so it's not MI6 yet. Interior, Ministry of Intelligence Services. Professor Admiral James St. John is in the middle of a conversation with Queen Victoria.
Tell me about this Lawrence of Manchester.
He's quite decorated for his work in Marrakesh, save for the odd disciplinary issue.
Go on.
Well, Your Majesty, Lawrence is as English as they come, but there's no other way to put it, really. His blood runs a trifle hot.
A military butler enters.
Captain Lawrence has arrived, my lord. Your Majesty.
Quite.
Thank you.
The military butler exits as Lawrence enters. He's Peter O'Toole. That much I'm almost certain. He has crazy blue eyes that look like the people that use too much spice in the movie Dune. Professor Admiral, Your Majesty, may I present a token of my honor? Lawrence presents the Queen with a beautifully crafted necklace made of bamboo and mouse skulls. The Queen recoils.
Oh.
Good God, Lawrence! Have you lost your graces? Are those pieces of rodents?
This is a high warrior's necklace of honor from the Zulu chieftain. Belonged to his son, slain in battle. Its value is incalculable.
I should think we agree on that much.
For the sake of pudding, Lawrence, remove that vile trinket from the eyes of the realm. If the Zulus had more of value than opium, we shan't have sent you to defeat them.
Of course, my lord.
Lawrence pockets the Zulu necklace, which will, 20 pages from now, block the blade of a dagger during his combat trial after he's taken prisoner by Arabic insurgents.
What do you know of Arabia, Lawrence?
Yeah, nice. I like that. That's a good choice. Alexander deemed it untamable. Genghis Khan never advanced past its edges. Omnihotep believed Ra forged Arabian hearts from wild steeds so that Egypt might always know humility.
And to what do you credit such a troubling reputation, Captain?
Quite simply, Your Highness, Arabia has no wealth. Therefore, its spirit knows no corruption. To an Arabian, there is only one currency. Strength. Do you know the Arabian word for surrender, Your Majesty?
Let me guess. They don't have one.
No. It's kulinar.
No, you're right. They don't have one. I was embarrassed that you scooped me.
Well, they may have no word for surrender, Lawrence, but what they do have is wealth. They just don't know it. Lawrence, what do you know about a substance called oil?
Only what we were told in basic training. A viscous liquid, repellent to water, with a rich hydrogen content making it readily combustible, and a potentially unprecedented source of energy for mechanization.
Here's what they didn't tell you. Arabia, beneath its sand and savagery is an ocean of oil. Which means 5 to 10 years from now, if someone invents a car, the least valuable colony on Her Majesty's Empire will become a war chest vast enough to not only secure British rule, but to quite possibly allow us to reconquer America.
When it comes time to do so, sir, I should hope I'll be retired. The Americans are a free people, capable of that which we have only ever tasted in our poetry. A victory over America would be a loss to mankind's purpose.
Granted. However, you will accept the mission of journeying to this Arabia and bringing it once and for all to Britannia's heels.
If Your Highness wishes it, Arabia will be purged of insurrection. I'll need 12 of our finest men.
I'm afraid that's not possible, Lawrence. Discretion is as valuable as the territory itself. Simply put, we're asking you to pacify and, if necessary, to ethnically cleanse all of the Middle East single-handedly. Will that be a problem? Forgive me for saying it, but your reputation for questioning authority precedes you.
Only when the authority has been weak, Lieutenant. I respond only to strength. The secret to my long record of military success is the same as the reason for my record of discipline. We zoom into his face as his blue eyes shine like lasers. I don't believe in compassion, and I have no capacity for friendship.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
I will be playing Cockney Junkie 2, Mother and Mary Poppins.
Very good. You're perfectly cast.
Thanks.
This is going to be fun. This all right. is all, it's a lot of the dark inside.
Yay.
I think that was actually the official tagline to Mary Poppins. It's a lot of the dark inside.
Exterior London street, night. We open on a street corner in London, 1916. It's night. The fishmongers shovel piles of fish guts into their gilly buckets.
And don't defeat me! Don't defeat me!
Newspaper selling orphan boys pull rotten melons from the trash bins to hollow out and make them into shoes for the day.
I got a big one, but my feet's too small for this one. We cut it in twain.
The street is made out of all those square bricks. They're called cobbles, and it's the only type of street in London. The rain comes down in sheets, making the street splashy and wet, all slick and oily. The cobbles are shiny and black, like a seal's balls. Exterior Big Ben is continuous.
Or seal's balls, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was going to put that. Big Ben chimes. Perfect. It's 2 a.m.
The old three chimes for 2 a.m.
Perfectly done.
Oh, God.
A bird and a man with a hammer dressed like one of them Queen's Guards people with the big hats come out of the clock and do the cuckoo clock dance shit that the slaves of the cuckoo clock are forced to do every hour on the hour. Like all of us shuffling from bed to work every day, an endless, pointless cycle we trod until we die. We hear footsteps in the cobblestone streets. They get louder and louder. Exterior London street, shanty village. The camera snakes through a village of shanties. Shanties are cardboard homes, and it's fun that it rhymes with panties. Two cockney junkies huddle in front of a fire made from broken up baby cribs and oil.
I'm sick, governor. I'm dying, matey.
Don't say that, love. We'll get you all fixed up, tight and shiny, Governor. Good as a pair of brand new bird and socks, crikey.
Cockney Junkie One throws up a bunch of blood.
Am I making raspberry jam out me talking hole, Governor?
If we can just make it till the morning, love, then we'll quit. Then things will be all right again.
Footsteps approach. The camera sees a gold buckle on a plain boot, then pans up the dress of a simple housewoman. An umbrella hides her face.
Need something to help you through the night?
That is Mary Poppins, by the way. That's...
Oh, shit.
Oops. Oops, okay. Need something to help you through the night?
A gloved hand holds up a ball of black tar opium.
That should set my man straight. Hand her over.
The opium floats from the hand, turns into a sinewy alien liquid like the Venom's costume from the old comic books, not the new shit in the trailer I haven't seen yet. It sucks into the nose and mouth of the sick junkie. He seizes and sits up.
Oh, crikey! I'm high as a bird's fart! Thank you!
You know what they say. A little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down.
What?
A laser bolt shoots from the top of the figure's umbrella and hits the junkie in the abdomen. He completely turns inside out. There's fucking guts everywhere.
What the fuck? Why is this happening?
She lowers the umbrella. It's Mary Poppins.
The name's Mary Poppins, and you picked the wrong night to do drugs on my family street. Tell your other sick junkie friends Mary Poppins is coming.
The other junkie scrambles into the night. Mary saunters over the twitching, groaning pile of meat that used to be a man.
Makes me sick.
She pulls a knife from her boot and stabs it slowly where the brain is exposed to the air. She then sings a song about how envelopes are food for mailboxes or some other dumb British damn shit. Interior, a rich family house, day. A father is sucking on his pipe in the kitchen.
Where are the pots and pans, Mother?
Mother enters. She wears a fur jacket and is sucking on a 2-gallon martini.
How am I to know where the bee devil is married?
Mary Poppins materializes in the living room out of a thousand crows. She wears the power gem of Gurkul. It is shaped like a monkey's heart and is the source of all her power. She stole it from a Mongolian warlord when she was the head courtesan of a mysterious group of sorceresses, the Guild of Blackened Sparrows. They served the lord's physical pleasures for many generations, but when Mary stole the gem, she turned the generals into screaming stains on the rocks they called home. Now she's a housekeeper like Tony Danza.
Breakfast is ready for the family.
Two adorable children tumble from downstairs. Lucy is gangly and sweet, and Tweedle, her younger brother, who is wheelchair-bound after his legs were crushed by a merchant's cart.
Mary's home!
Mary sings a song about breakfast and about how eggs are magical and there's shit about toast in it and pancakes are dancing in the air and everyone's laughing and clapping.
Haha, there's a pancake on the ceiling. Delightful.
All in a day's work.
Hello, Henry.
Did Siri disrespond?
Yes! Whoa, weird!
Siri Poppins.
What?
Okay, can we go from the pancakes again?
Yes.
Haha, there's a pancake on the ceiling. Delightful.
All in a day's work.
If you can make food dance, can you perchance fix my legs, Mary?
Here is a 5 full minutes of
It's lunchtime.
Mary sings a song about making lunch, and they all clap, and everyone laughs.
Oh, Mary, what would we do without you? My power gem keeps the sun from exploding.
Maybe we can have another conversation about my legs.
There's a commotion from the living room.
It's my soot-covered chimney friend.
Dick Van Dyke crawls out of the chimney like the girl from The Ring. Everyone screams. His teeth are so big and they chomp and chomp. You can hear them clack together miles away.
I'm 109 years old, but I can still dance, Mary.
Show him, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke shuffles around like a scarecrow on fire. His knees can fold backwards. He sings a song about how nothing can ever be cleaned enough. The world is dirty and can never be clean, no matter how hard he sweeps. Tweedle starts crying.
No, Tweedle.
Mary wiggles her nose and Tweedle's frown literally turns upside down, black hole sun style.
Have you met my new girlfriend, Mary?
Oh, I kind of thought you and I were an item.
Oh, we are. This is just someone I'm seeing until we are exclusive.
So you want a label to our relationship? I thought after our discussion at Joshua Tree that we were past labels.
Yeah, about that. This is Jenny.
A penguin comes in the front door.
You've been dating a cartoon penguin?
Hell yeah, she can't get pregnant.
They all laugh knowingly. Mary winks and Tweedle grows new legs, but they are spider legs. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
All right, this is crushing.
Exterior, Georgia State Prison. Day. Prisoners sprawl across the blacktop, playing basketball and lifting weights for jail recess. A middle-aged man, and I'm pretty sure it's Tim Robbins, sits alone at a picnic table, playing with a cootie catcher. Shaws embroidered on his orange jumpsuit.
Is this seat taken?
Just so everyone knows, that was Morgan Freeman.
Shaws looks up to see his old pal, Morgan Freeman.
Nice of you to stop by.
Morgan Freeman sits down with his cafeteria tray.
There was a line for the Jell-O salad. On a diet?
Morgan Freeman motions to where Shaw's lunch tray should be. Shaws looks away wistfully.
Oh, Shaws. Don't tell me those gangsters are taking your lunch now.
What am I supposed to do about it, Morgan Freeman? Fight all the jail jocks at the same time?
Morgan Freeman sighs.
Why do they hate you so much anyway?
I don't know.
I think you do.
That's jail jock. If you weren't worried. Shaws drops his cootie catcher as jail jock dribbles into frame. He dribbles his ball right on top of the cootie catcher, flattening it open on the ground.
Oh, come on! Now I can see all the answers.
All right, fellas, let's all calm down. You're saying Shaws knows why you hate him.
Well, why don't you tell him, ask him yourself?
Do you, Shaws?
Shaws remains coward. He says nothing. Jail jock chuckles smugly. Say, Morgan Freeman. Shaws ever tell you what it was that landed him in this joint? Morgan Freeman is taken aback.
No, I guess he hasn't. I suppose I just assumed insider trading based on his face.
In his dreams.
Well, what was it, Shaws?
Shaws just sits there refolding his cootie catcher. Well, if he won't tell you, I will. He made a video of himself trying to suck his own dick.
What? Could he do it?
Could he do it?
No.
I'm confused. How is that illegal?
Because he was 14!
He's just folding his thing this whole time.
Shock washes over Morgan Freeman's face. Shaws looks like he's trying not to cry.
So, he made...
kitty porn. Yep.
And you saw it because...
looking at kitty porn is why I'm in jail.
Wow. Shaws, I'm just... you're...
a monster. Yep. Shaws suddenly stands up, flipping the picnic table. The guys jump back.
Enough!
Shaws gently sets the cootie catcher on the ground.
Yeah, so what? I'm a lot more than just that guy who tried to suck his own dick, okay?
As he talks, heavy gray clouds rolling above them.
I was also the regional Heelys champion.
Shaws reaches into his pocket and pulls out two wheels. He picks up his feet and pops them in. He's been wearing wheelless Heelys as sneakers this whole
wheelless
time.
Wheelless Heelys.
The guys stand back, flabbergasted.
Boys, you know Natasha Bedingfield?
Shaws looks toward a three-person prison band sitting at the adjacent picnic table. They have five teeth between them. They nod and grab their rubber band guitar, can opener, mouth harp, and bucket drums. Shaws rolls out to the center of the basketball court. The clouds are so thick now, it's practically dark outside. The band starts to play what kind of maybe sounds like Unwritten. Morgan Freeman and Big Jock look on.
I don't know. I don't know how it goes. So it's just like shaking bells.
We need to. Shaws puts his hand on his waist and pops his hip to the beat. The singing starts and he kick turns forward. He moonwalks, but like half scooting backward, then turns around and moon scoots back the other way. He stands for a moment doing the Batusi before dropping to the ground and absolutely destroying the worm. Suddenly, the clouds crack open and release a torrential downpour. Unfazed, Shaws jumps up and scoots across the court, raising the roof. He bunny hops back, doing a 360 jump halfway across. He reaches out for the basketball. Jail Jock passes it to him. Shaws flawlessly catches it and rolls towards the hoop. He does a perfect slam dunk, and the rain slingshots off the backboard. Feel the rain on your skin. Lightning strikes as Shaws folds down on one knee, and the music stops. Insert shot. A single tear streams down Jail Jock's face. He's dripping in rain, but it's still for sure a tear. Morgan Freeman and the band roar with applause.
Yeah.
The entire prison follows suit because they were apparently also watching. Everyone.
That would sound like more. Sorry.
Hey,
Jail Jock.
Everyone stops clapping. They all look to Jail Jock.
Well?
Jail Jock slowly rises. You're right. You are more than just a monster. You're a star, Shaws. Shaws stands up.
I know. By the way, the name's Hank.
The won't get fooled again scream comes out of nowhere. Cut to title. Thank you.
Won't get fooled again.
Yeah!
This is Build the Perfect Movie. You must combine two scores from our category to build the perfect movie as close to 100% on Rotten Tomatoes as possible without going over. Price is Right, rules apply. So you're competing against each other.
Okay.
No movies
that... Oh, don't go over.
You cannot go over.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, no movies
I've never
that...
seen Price is Right.
Oh, my. Now, is that on the bracket?
Have you really?
Is no, Price no, no, is I've Right on the bracket?
It's impossible. Okay. No, but it should have been.
What seed is Price is Right? Like Bob Barker
so
Price
funny.
Is Right, too.
I really, really want anyone who hasn't seen The Price is Right to write an episode of The Price is Right and come on the show.
Yeah. They might know because they
it
might still
like,
know what
like
Price is Right rules
The Price
means.
Is Right, never seen by Rob Hayes, based on what I saw in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay, so you two movies. So what we're doing today is you're both going to try and build the perfect sports movie.
All right.
Okay.
All right, nice.
Sports movie.
Okay.
So Rob will go first, then CJ, then we'll recap the scores. And then whoever has the higher or the lower Rotten Tomatoes score from their first one will go first and second.
I do have a question about Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, .com.
Do they retroactively like older movies that predate maybe the website?
Everything's on there. It goes. It has like Gone with the Wind's reviews on there and stuff.
Yeah, but are those reviews from 39 or those reviews from like?
Ooh, good call.
That is a great question. It is. It is from whenever the review was written.
Okay.
So like, I think like Roger Ebert has a Gone with the Wind review on there.
So
from
no
probably,
audience scores.
No, we're not going off audience score. It's going
it's separate.
Off, it's separate.
Even
with
the old movies. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So first.
So you're picking any sports movie. And then you got to combine it with another sports movie.
Okay.
Get as close to 100.
All right. I'm going to try to hit towards the middle. I'm not going to try to go too high because finding a low one's going to be difficult. So I'm going with basketball.
All right. Let me go ahead and just pull that up.
What do you think basketball is around?
I'm thinking I'm thinking 40s, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? This is like my first CJ? Spin on the wheel. So you don't know about.
Yeah, then, so you're gonna pick one here.
I'm gonna go a tin cup.
What if I argued that wasn't a sports movie, but basketball was? Okay, so let's recap. Rob, basketball, CJ, tin cup. Basketball, 42%.
Nice. Come that's
on, man. Come on, man.
One.
Tin cup, 70%.
Oh, God. Okay, but I got a really bad one.
So, CJ, you're going to go first this round. You're going to try and get, you got to get as close to 30% as you can.
All right, I'm going to go Thunderstruck. Kevin Durant.
Okay.
I'm really trying to go for 100 right here.
Okay.
So, I'm not even playing conservatively.
Wait, this is the wrong Thunderstruck. This is a
Academy Award nominated Thunderstruck.
I can't even find it. No, this is a movie about
Yeah, that movie was in theaters.
There we go.
I wonder how many theaters got Thunderstruck.
There's a KD web series that Nike put out in those early days where it's him shooting it. It's great.
All right, so we got Thunderstruck. Yeah. Rob, you are at 42% with basketball.
Okay.
So here's what happens now. I'm going to tell you. No, actually, just pick one.
Yeah, I got to pick one.
We're still figuring out the rules of this game.
Okay.
It's the time playing it.
No. I'm in between two.
Okay.
I'm going to go Like Mike.
One?
Yeah, Like Mike won.
Okay, great.
Wait, let's talk about it, too, because reviewers might be like, oh, for kids, that's a pretty good movie.
I mean, it's going to be, it is, you know, people generally review movies based on what they're trying to do, right?
Right.
Like Ebert would give four stars to a bad action movie trying to be a bad action movie and 0 stars to
Damn
like
it.
Cloud Atlas or something like
Swing.
Okay, CJ, Tin Cup and Thunderstruck. Tin Cup, 70%. Thunderstruck, 27%.
Oh,
wow!
We're looking at 97%.
Wow.
Love it.
Almost built the perfect movie.
Ooh. Wow.
Rob, basketball, 42%. Like Mike, 57%.
Wow.
99%.
Get out of here. No way.
It's incredible.
No way.
That's the closest to a perfect movie we've ever had. These were actually the two closest to a perfect movie we've ever had.
I physically sat up in my seat. I've been slumping this whole time.
Yo, I was just, when y'all said that, I was like, I knew I should have picked the sixth man.
Oh,
jeez.
So let's see where sixth man would have landed you.
I think that would have shot you over.
Sixth man's 23%.
Oh, okay.
No way. Shut me over.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
99%.
See, that's what I'm mad at.
So the best movie we've ever made in the game is about Lil Bow Wow and the guys from South Park standing around.
Come on, man.
We're doing it. That was crazy.
That was
crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Before that, who else got close?
Last time, both people went over. The first time we had someone, I think that was Tom Hanks was the first one. Is that right? And someone got like 92 or 93%.
Nice.
But it was like from a 89, and then some two or three like some something that bombed. 99.
Calvin Cambridge.
I have to take
Shout
a second.
Out Tracy Reynolds.
Because I almost
Nikki.
Blew it. When I started doing the math, when I looked it up, I started sweating over here. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep a straight face. Oh, boy. All right. Great round.
Star Bands Audio. A podcast network.